Sometimes we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell you he's always led me. Sent me here to tell you there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope. He was bruised for our transgressions, he was nailed upon the tree. He cried out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? But through my suffering Savior, he brought healing to our pain. And the one who raised up from the dead and restore us all again. Sent me here to tell you there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Lives, there is hope, because Jesus lives. So don't give up, there is hope.
Okay, thank you. If you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Hopefully next year at this time we'll be in our new building next door. We won't be all crammed, and I know it's sort of hot outside, but John chapter 10. I want to just share what the Bible talks about when it talks about the abundant life. The abundant life. God wants us to have an abundant life. If we don't understand, and I'm going to talk about, and we've talked a little bit about this in church the last few weeks, the body, the soul, and the spirit, if we don't understand that we're a three-part being, we'll never have an abundant life. There's some, they take care of the body, and they eat right, and they lift weights, and they're on the treadmill, and they know all about how to take care of the body. But that's only one-third of your being. And if we don't understand that we're a three-part being, we'll never be totally fulfilled. The Bible uses that one word, abundant. We'll never have an abundant life. Misunderstanding how to get or to be or to do what we want can really cause a lot of problems. This is a true story. This is a lesson to be learned. How that misunderstanding can be very emotionally draining. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out. If you're from Minnesota, you know what needing to thaw out means. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of a hectic schedule on both their parts, it was difficult to coordinate both of their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, and he went first, with his wife flying down the following day on Friday. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife that was going to be arriving tomorrow. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. And without realizing his error, he sent the email to a wrong email address. How many have ever sent the wrong to the email to a wrong address, okay? Sometimes it could get you in trouble, too. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided, the one's in Houston, we got three states now. The wife is in Minnesota, the husband is in Florida, and whoever this widow lady is in Houston, and this man accidentally sent this email to this widow lady in Houston. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends to comfort her. After reading the first message on her computer, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Date, July 19th, 2011. And here's what she read. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S., it sure is hot down here. Little misunderstanding. Why don't we stand together? Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse number 9. I am the door, John chapter 10, verse number 9. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief, verse 10, cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Most of us would understand that would be eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly, abundant life here on earth. Father, help us on our friend day to hear from you and from your word, and make, please, the truths from your word very clear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The abundant life, the word abundant there in John chapter 10 and verse 10 means plentiful, fully sufficient, overflowing with, abounding. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. I remember I thought as an older teenager, I really started thinking about maybe becoming a Christian. And the only problem with me wanting or making a decision was I thought that it would be a bummer. And I literally thought the opposite of this verse. I thought to become a Christian would mean that you would not have an abundant life. You'd have a bummer life, but you can go to heaven. And I wasn't ready to do the bummer life and go to heaven thing yet. But that was a lie. The truth is, Jesus said, he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to make this as practical as possible. And by the way, this is a series, and we're going to really touch on three thoughts here this morning. And we want to encourage you to come back. And this is a series on the abundant life. The abundant life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And please, if you would, look at verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Again, God has made us a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. By the way, sometimes the soul and the spirit are one and the same, but most of the time they are different. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace, God wants us to have peace, okay, sanctify you wholly. Now that's wholly. That's not the holy, pure, clean. That means entire, complete. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole or entire spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. I want you to look at just a couple more verses, and then I want to explain a few things. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll read the verses here and explain them. Okay, we are a three-part being, body, okay? And we are very familiar with the body. Okay, we fed the body this morning, and we put the body to sleep last night, and the body woke up this morning. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Verse 24 of Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, okay, receiving and giving pleasant words, a compliment, a praise, a thank you. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Sweet to the what class? Soul. Pleasant words are sweet to the soul. Now listen. And health to the bones. Okay, what are the bones? That's your body. Pleasant words affect the soul, and then your soul, when it's affected, it affects the body. Okay, I want you to turn to another verse here in Proverbs, Proverbs 17, next chapter. We need to understand, to have an abundant life, how the soul and the body and the spirit all work together. And if all you're doing is working on your spirit, you're not working on your soul and your body, you're not going to be complete. If all you're doing is working on your body and you're not working on the spirit and the soul, you're not going to be complete. Okay? And they all affect each other. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart, by the way, if you write in your Bible, you can put a little arrow, the soul, okay? The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Do you know, and we don't have time to go over it, do you know that now medical science, we don't need medical science to prove the Bible because the Bible is God's word. However, medical science is now, they're seeing that what's in the Bible is, even in the medical world, is right. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Look at this. Do you know laughing and having a merry heart and being happy is good for the body? It's good for the body. And then on the flip side, being sad and depressed and discouraged and downhearted, it's detrimental to the body. It's detrimental to the body. It says there, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but look at this, but a broken spirit, by the way, that spirit would be soul, drieth the bones. See, what is that? The bones house your immune system. And we're not going to, I'm going to quote some medical doctors this morning, but I could quote many, many medical doctors just for us to understand that a merry heart, a happy heart, or a healthy soul is good for the body. The soul, the body, and the spirit all affect each other and all determine whether or not we have an abundant life. The soul is the mind, will, and emotion. The spirit is that which is the spiritual part of man that will exist somewhere, please get this, forever. The spirit, by the way, the body won't exist forever. This body is going to be eaten up by the worms. Okay, and unless you get, you know, torched before the worms get you, you know, and you go become ashes, okay? But the soul is the mind, will, and emotion. The spirit is that which is the spiritual part of the man that will exist somewhere forever. By the way, please get this. We're all born with a dead spirit. We're born with a dead spirit. We inherited that from our father, Adam and Eve, okay? The body is the part of man that we are all very familiar with. The body is affected by the soul, which affects our abundant life. We just read Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart, the soul, doeth good like a medicine, the body, but a broken spirit, the soul, this would actually be our soul, drieth the bones. A merry soul or heart is medicinal. By the way, some people say, you guys cut up over here a lot. We're trying to have we're trying to have a healthy soul, and we're trying to have a healthy body. Christians don't have to be sad. We're supposed to be glad. By the way, we have a lot to be glad about. Okay? Worst thing that can ever happen to any of us as Christians, if we're truly born again Christians, is we can die and go to heaven. That ain't bad. But the body is affected by the soul, which affects our abundant life. A merry soul is medicinal. A broken soul is detrimental to your health. Stress, by the way, tonight I'll continue a series on how stress affects our soul and our body and our spirit, which affects the abundant life. Stress affects the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Then the affected soul affects the body. When we read in Proverbs 16:24, the pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words help the soul, and that helps the body. Look, the American Institute on Stress reports that 75 to 90% of doctors' visits are stress disorders. I went to the doctors. I was having chest pains. And he did all the tests and all that. And then he looked at me and he says, are you having any stress? I said, yes. I'm married. Don't say anything. I have 8 children. We're going through a building program. We have a church. And then he said this. He said, would you like some anxiety medication? No. I'll take care of it another way. Get a bottle of beer. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I don't drink beer. Just to let you know that. Stress affects the soul. Dr. Harold Coing, co-director of the Center for Spiritual Theology and Health at Duke University, and Duke's not a Christian university, most of you know Duke University, said there is a growing research documenting that psychological and social stresses affect cardiovascular functions, the nervous system, endocrine system, digestive system, and the immune system. What is it saying? Saying this. By the way, God knew this before we had all these high-end medical scientists. God knew. You say, why? Because God created us. You know, God's saying, hey, listen, man, take care of your body, take care of your spirit, and take care of your soul, then you can have an abundant life. I read this recently in one of those messages. Dr. Reich Hamar, a German physician, in 1978, his son died as a result of a gunshot wound. Dr. Hamer was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow of this tragedy. And he soon, after this tragedy of his son, was diagnosed with cancer, the medical doctor was. He wondered if there was any connection between his cancer and the unresolved stress, that's the soul, of his grief. After conducting a study that involved more than 20,000 patients, he was able to draw a direct correlation between various types of stress, the soul, stress affects the soul, and specific diseases, the body. Dr. Hamer also observed that when a particular stress on the soul was resolved, that related diseases often cleared up. In 1981, Dr. Hamer presented his findings to the medical university from which he earned his degree. He was excited about the possibility of teaching this material at the university because the purpose of this of his life was to find and eliminate the root causes of diseases. After several months of silence, university officials informed him that if he taught this information, they would see to it that his medical license was revoked. After receiving their answer, Dr. Hamer decided that he could not turn his back on such overwhelming data. Therefore, he began to share his medical findings with his patients. As a result, his medical license was revoked in 1986. A major assault was then launched against him and his research. As a result of this, he wrote a book to explain how he gave us the potential of researching specific stresses and how they directly relate to the systems of the body. The first step was to go to the powerful Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave to the multitudes. In that message, there are identified seven basic stresses and their relationship to life that affect the soul, that affect the body, and of course they affect the spirit. One is anger. Let me say this, and I don't have time here. I'll preach about it tonight. Do you know anger is bad for your heart? This isn't the pastor saying it. It's the medical world has proven anger, all of us hotheads, when I say us, I mean these guys up here, bad for your heart. It's probably worse for your heart than 3/4 pounders with cheese. Yeah. In that message, he identified the seven basic stresses and their relationship to life. Anger, guilt. Do you know guilt is detrimental to your soul and your body? And, of course, your spirit, if you understand anything about the Word of God. Guilt. Say, what's guilt? Guilt is when you've done something, whether it's outward or inward, and you've not gotten it resolved. Okay? Let me say this. If you're involved with pornography, men, ladies too, you live with guilt. And let me say this, it's affecting your soul, it's affecting your spirit if you're a Christian, and it's affecting your body. Guilt, anger, and I'm not going to go over all these, anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. The body, the soul, and the spirit all contribute or take away from that abundant life. Hey, let me ask you a question. How's your, we all know how our body is. But hey, how's your soul today? How's your soul? You say, what's the soul test? Anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, envy. That affects your soul. And then a soul affects your body. You say, man, my body's doing really well. You might look, maybe you have a six-pack. Maybe you have good biceps. Maybe you're up like this, but you don't know. You might be that close to a heart attack. You might be that close to a nervous breakdown because of anger and guilt and lust. By the way, God's way is the best way. That's why we should be in God's Word to learn how to live. Don't get your advice on life in a general way from people that don't really understand God. Total health or holy, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, holy, entire health, as the Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is simply this: the absence of soul, body, and spirit sickness, or the absence of body, soul, and spirit stress. You say, how do you have the abundant life? You can't have stress on your spirit. You can't have stress on your soul. You can't have stress in your body. By the way, everybody, your body eventually will stress out. You say, what's that? Die. But your soul doesn't have to die, and your spirit doesn't have to die. Total health, or holy, complete, entire health, is a dynamic and harmonious interaction of the body, soul, and spirit. You know, the question is this morning, how's your body, soul, and spirit? By the way, let me say this. Your spirit is the most important. That's the spiritual part of man. The spirit is, if you're going to neglect one, don't neglect the spirit. And let me say this, and I'm getting ahead of myself. That's the number one part of man that people neglect. And we wonder why our soul, we wonder why our body, which affects everything, affects our relationships, it affects our workplace, it affects the abundant life, fulfillment, we wonder why we neglect the spirit. The spirit is the most important part of man's being, and it is the most neglected. The spirit, okay, we said the soul affects the body. The spirit also affects the body. Dr. Payne, a medical doctor and member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, said after 20 years, please get this, as a physician, he said, I'm convinced that resolving stress through learning and obeying, this is a medical doctor, he's not a pastor, he's not a theologian, medical doctor, he said, after 20 years as a physician, I'm convinced that resolving stress through learning and obeying specific biblical principles is not only the best answer for health, but he says it's the only answer to improve our health. Some of you here a couple weeks ago, we had Brother Suter. He travels all over the country. He's just an unbelievable counselor, and he knows the Word of God, and has written really great book on the whole of no hope. But I sat with him in the office over there, and he said, I met with somebody. He said, whenever I counsel, he said, I go to the root problem. Well, you know, my wife, and husband, and kids, he always goes to the root problem. And he starts asking these questions. He says, is there anybody that ever hurt you that you've not forgiven? What's that? This young man was in a wheelchair. And they thought they diagnosed him with MS. And I don't know how you don't know. I'm not a doctor. But they thought he just started becoming crippled. And he was in a wheelchair. He got to the root problem. He said, you need to forgive. And I don't go into all the story. I don't know all the story. And this young man right there, this is a spirit. Forgiveness is, bitterness is a spiritual issue. Also affects the soul. It's emotional, and it affects the body. And he said, you need to forgive. And that right in that office, wherever they were, this young man forgave this person. And this young man got out of his wheelchair. Now, he was still, you know, when you're cramped up in the hospital, you have to have physical therapy. So, I mean, he didn't come out, all right. He got up, and he was walking. You say, why? Because his bitterness was affecting his physical life. So, Pastor, what's the message? The message is this. Let's learn how to live God's way. And let's deal with the root problems that are affecting our soul, affecting our spirit, and affecting our body. And by the way, the only place you're going to get all those answers is right here. Oh, well, you know, I know a guy, he's got a triple PhD. It doesn't matter. If he's not getting his answers from God, he's gonna mislead you. Not intentionally. By the way, in many ways, the spiritual part of man in many ways affects the body. I see this couple right here. I told a story here. Our church people know this, but your guests don't know. The guests don't know this. I told a story. I said there was a medical doctor. He couldn't have babies. And he went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, I can't have babies. James chapter 5 says, if you're sick, go to the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil and pray for the sick and blah, blah, blah." And he said, "I must be sick or my wife is sick. We can't have babies." He said, "Would you pray for us?" He said, "I've never done this before." "Sure, I will." So he prayed for him, anointed with oil. 9 months later, they had a baby. Then they had number two. Then they had number three. Then they had number four. Then they had number five. Then they had number six. I was telling the story in the church. They had number six. By the way, I know the medical doctor. Then they had number seven. Then they had number eight. He goes back to the pastor. He says, "Hey, can you pray for like a reversal on that?" I told that story. This young man, what's your name again? Cody. He came up to me. I told the story. I think it was right here. He said, "Hey, we've been trying to have another baby." He said, "We can't have another baby." He said, "Would you pray for me?" By the way, he put me on the spot. It's like, man, if I pray and it doesn't happen, you know, then I guess I don't have the prayer power. I said, "Sure." So we went to my office, and I prayed. I got some olive oil, prayed, anointed with oil, and I said, "Hey, I don't know if this will work, but, you know, God says it, so let's do it." That was, how far along is your wife? You're 9 months? All right, any nurses around here? We might be. It was 9 months ago when they came up and we prayed, and she's going to have a baby. You say, "When?" "Anytime." Okay? That's the spiritual part. Okay? So the spiritual, by the way, don't you say, "Oh, I'm sick. Can you heal me, Pastor?" Look, I prayed for people. They died. So don't, I'm not a, there's no, we don't believe in faith healers, okay? So that was just, God wanted to do it. It was his faith. It wasn't my faith. He came to me, and we just did what the Bible said. The spirit affects the soul. Those with a strong spiritual life have a strong soul, mind, will, and emotion. Thus, even during very stressful circumstances, their soul is strong because their spiritual life is strong. Let me give an illustration. Last week we had Brother Miller downstairs. He preached a message, and he said he knew a man. I don't know the man personally. I know of him. That was a very godly man. He's written many books and many messages on the family. Very good material on marriage. And this man was diagnosed, he was 64 years old, with a brain tumor. Wow. But get this. Point is, you're strong spiritually, will help you to be strong in your soul, okay? So that even when your body deteriorates, you're still strong spiritually and in the soul. Remember this, if you're strong spiritually and you're strong in the soul, when the body deteriorates, you're still strong. I want to be strong on my deathbed. I don't want to fall apart. I don't want the last memories of the people that I love and that love me see me weak in the faith. This man was so strong spiritually and in his soul. By the way, you know when we're sick, what do we want? We want everybody to help us, especially us men. We got like a flu, and our temperature of 99 degrees. We act like we're about to die. "Honey, can you check my temperature again?" "It's 99. Oh, man, it seems like it's 110. We're babies. Here's this guy. He's dying. They told him, you're going to die. You know what he did? I've never heard anything like this in my life. "When we're dying, come care for us." You know what he did? He knew that when he died, that his wife was going to be very brokenhearted. So he planned, while he was dying, he planned and got with somebody, got with a florist, and said, "Look, I'll pay for it. I think it was a week after I die, 7 days after I die, I want flowers from me to go to my wife. And I want those flowers to come and say, it's from Denny. His name is Denny. Just want to let you know I love you and I care for you. And then he said, I think 2 or 3 weeks later, after that, he said, I want flowers from me. He had that all planned out. You know, usually people are arranging our funeral and all that. You know what he was doing? He was so strong in spirit. He wasn't strong in body. By the way, one of these days, all of our body's going to be gone. But that's why we need to work on the spirit. He was so strong in spirit. He was so strong in the soul that he was even on his deathbed caring for other people. That's how it's supposed to be. The spirit will live forever somewhere. God wants us strong in spirit, strong in soul, and in body so that we can effectively fulfill his purpose, and that's what it's all about. We cannot do this until we are born into God's family. Now, Tuesday, most of us are going to vote, okay, for our new president. Now, 30-some-odd years ago, we had a president, and his name was President Jimmy Carter. How many remember President Jimmy Carter? Okay, I'm sure he was most of your favorite president. Anyway, I won't say anything about that. President Jimmy Carter, he made a little phrase very famous. I don't know if anybody remember. Born again. Anybody remember that? Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian. I'm not saying whether he was or wasn't. But that little born again. I've talked to people, they say, I'm a born-again Christian. By the way, there's only one type of Christian. It's a born-again Christian. Okay, it's not born again and not born again. There's only one type, born again. You say, why? Because we're born with a dead spirit. And that spirit has to be born again. Now, here's the question. Every one of us are body, every one of us are soul, but not every one of us have been born again, and God's spirit come in our spirit. And here's the point. If you've not been born again, when you die, you go to hell. That's not me. That's not the Baptist doctrine. That's the Bible teaching. So you got body, it's going to be gone. But one of these days, and I want to explain it, our soul and our spirit, but there's a part of you that never dies. There's a part of me that never dies, okay? And here's a question. If something happened to you, would your spirit, some would say soul, some would say spirit and soul, would it go to heaven or go to hell? You say, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter if you believe it. It's true. That's like you say, I don't believe this girl's going to have a baby. Your belief doesn't make her not have a baby. The truth is the truth. We are born with a dead spirit. If you don't get born again, you will go to hell when you die. There must be a time and a place where and when you got born again. Do you remember where you got born again? Do you remember when? Stand up and tell us. Easter Sunday, 1978. Did I bring you to church? I brought him to church. Easter Sunday, 1978. Now, I'm just making sure all of my staff are born again. Charlie, why don't you stand? When and where did you get born again? May 7th, 1995, Raymond in Anaheim. Okay, we're shooting 2 for 2. Let's get to the Filipino guy over here. Brother Ray, why don't you stand? Here.
1981 in the Philippines.
Philippines is a big country. What part?
The southern part. San Pedro.
So that's what I thought. Okay. For me, it was on the corner of South and Cherry, North Long Beach. They used to call it Luau Manor. August 1974. That was when Abraham Lincoln was president. Okay. Long time ago. Now, I got a question. When were you born again? Well, you know, I was born into a Christian family. No. That little baby, do you have a name for the baby? Do you have a boy or girl? Priscilla. Probably right after church, she's going to get going to the hospital. She's going to have a date with what hospital? Memorial. Maybe. All depends where you are. Okay. Memorial Hospital, Priscilla is going to be born, and there's going to be a date. It's going to be a day. It's going to be a time, and there's going to be a place. Now, here's the question. This is very important. When and where were you born again? Oh, I had this experience. It's not an experience. Okay, it's an experience, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a feeling. It's when we understand that we're sinners and we are under the condemnation of God because of our sin. God's a holy God. He's a perfect God. God cannot allow sin into heaven. But God in his love sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. He paid for our sins so that we do not have to pay for our own sins in hell forever. And all we have to do is by faith, very simply come to him, understand that we, say, I don't believe in that. You have a free will. But your free will does not change the truth. And I'd say this, don't put it off. Today, you can become a born-again Christian. Today, you can have your sins forgiven, and you can walk out of that door guaranteed that you're on your way to heaven. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment.